so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in.
Pastor Jesse is in Australia for a few days. He sends his love to each and every one of you, so I am preaching tonight. If this is your first time joining us, my name is Jed Spira. I'm an associate pastor here at Eternity Church. And Eternity Church. And I could not be more pleased or honored to be with you here tonight. It's going to be an incredible night, an incredible weekend. I'm excited for what God has for us tonight in this place. Come on. Let me just say this. Let me just say how incredible it is to serve at a church where your lead pastor gives opportunities to pastors on the staff to preach. It's absolutely incredible. I'm so grateful that my pastor trusts me to preach on his platform when he isn't even in the country. So thank you, Pastor Jesse. I know he's watching tonight, which is awesome. And thank you, Pastor Lauren and Pastor Jesse, for just continuing to be faithful and obedient and build God's church. Amen. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise for that. I can tell y'all are ready to go tonight, aren't you? Come on. How many of you know every weekend is incredible here at church? It's awesome. This weekend we have something fun planned for you. Not that we don't have something fun planned every weekend. Some of you may have seen it on social media, but we have something really cool tonight. Across our four weekend services, we will actually have four different Eternity Church pastors preaching. Come on. All of us are preaching on the same topic using the same scriptures with the same message in our hearts. So tonight, you'll get a message from me, and then over the course of the next three services here at our central campus and out at our west campus, you will get the same message written by a different pastor on the exact same topic using the exact same scriptures. So, like, I want to get to as many of these things as I can, and I'm preaching tonight. Like, I want to get to all of them because it's going to be incredible. So here's the cool thing. If you like what you hear tonight, come back and get the message from somebody else. And here's what's cool. If you don't like what you hear tonight, come back and you get the message from somebody else. All right, are you ready to go? All right, take out your Bible or your phone, your Bible app, whatever you read the Bible on. Let's take it out. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. This is in 2 Corinthians 12. I'm going to start in verse 9. It says this. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Paul says this. But he said to me, that's God that he's talking about, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul goes on to say this, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's a powerful word. I don't know how many of us would say, look, bring on the insults, bring on the hardships, because those are the things and the places that I'm strong. I love how the Bible, one of my favorite things about the Bible is how real we get to see. It's just about real people, right? We get to see people literally at their most human. So you know that the Apostle Paul was just a person like you and I. Flesh and blood, just a person. And right before this scripture, he says probably what most of us say when we're thinking about our weaknesses. He says this. He says, Lord, take away this thing that plagues me. He asks God to just cover up his weakness. Take it away. Take away this thing that makes me weak. You see, even though that Paul has clearly answered the call of God on his life, and he's clearly doing the work that God has called him to do, he still has his own plans about how he wants to go about doing that work, right? How many of you do that? You're called by God to do something, but you've still got your own plans on how you want to do that thing. God, take this thing away from me that makes me weak, because it would be better for me and for everybody else. God, I only want to be strong so people see that I'm strong, and then they'll see how strong you are. Have you ever done that? Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Worked so desperately hard to cover up your weaknesses, cover up your shortcomings, hide your failures, hide the things that you struggle with so that people will be left with no other conclusion that you are literally the most amazing person on the face of the planet. I've done that. I have done that before. In fact, I spent years doing that, working tirelessly to have people only see me as strong, or cool, or capable, or smart, or with it. I spent years doing that because all that I saw when I looked in the mirror, all that I saw was my weaknesses. All that I saw was my lack, my shortcomings. And so, instead of allowing anyone else to see those things, I did what a lot of us do. I worked hard to cover those things up. And honestly, it was just about self-protection, right? Because I was going to handle it. So it was just about protection. And the sad thing is, we can do this for most of our life. In fact, sometimes it starts when we're small, doesn't it? Let me let you all in on just on something here real quick. Some of you might not know this about me. And if you don't know this about me, that's cool. I'm just going to say it. Some of you realize it. I'm a redhead. Like, I'm just going to face up to it. I am a redhead. Come on, where are my gingers at? Come on. Anybody? There's like a couple of you. They're like, I didn't know it was safe to say that here, but it's all right. Don't you worry, young man. We're going to take over the world someday. Believe that. But I'm a redhead. So when you're a kid and you grow up with red hair, which actually is a blessing, I want to speak to this young man right now because you got red hair. I want to tell you something. That hair is going to take you places you wouldn't even dreamed of with the power of God. Come on. So when you're young and you're like really little and you have red hair, people will just say like, hey, Red, when they're talking about you because they don't know, hey, Red. I'm like, it's Jed, but whatever. Hey, Red. They're close. And they say those things, and they're kind of innocent, right? When you're super little, it's good natured. As you get older, sometimes the teasing can start. It just happened to be red hair for me, but it could be something for anybody else, right? The teasing starts. Sometimes the insults start. You know, it's just kind of still kid stuff. But at a very young age, you can start thinking about, you know what, I'm just probably going to wear a hat. Don't you ever wear a hat, young man. Sometimes, maybe when I get older, I will dye my hair or something like that, you know? We start to cover things up. It starts innocently. I remember also as a kid racing home from school or sometimes literally staying home and pretending that I was sick to stay home at school when I thought that maybe, just maybe, there was going to be a letter that was going to come from the school to my parents explaining how not awesome I was in math. Anybody ever done that one? See, now they just send it in an email. Back in the day, though, you could meet that thing at the mailbox. I wasn't afraid of getting in trouble. I was just afraid of disappointing people by revealing just how weak I was in a certain area. So I hid it. Like it was magically going to get better on its own. At the end of semester, I would be like mega in math. I hid it. All along, if I would have just allowed my weakness to be exposed, I could have received help. But I chose not to. The funny thing is when you become an adult, you can continue to do the same things. I don't dare want to let somebody see how much I'm struggling as a parent. I don't dare want to let somebody see just how much I don't know about being a husband and just how much I'm struggling at it. So I'm just going to put up a front to make sure that they know that my marriage is magically fantastic all on its own. There's no way that I could ever really get that job or that promotion. There's no way that I could ever really start that business because, well, I'm just simply not qualified to do so. I mean, it's on my heart to do it. Like, I kind of feel like it's on my heart to do it, but I'm just not strong enough in X, Y, or Z. I really believe that one of the primary objectives, if not the primary objective of the evil one, is to do everything in his power and everything at his hand to prevent you and I from being where we are supposed to be doing the things that God has called us to do. I believe it with all my heart, like it's job number one, prevent you and me from being where we're supposed to be doing the call of God on our life. And so whether it's a calling or a career, freedom from addiction, victory as a parent, or even just peace of mind, the goal of your opposition, the evil one, the goal of your opposition is to get you to believe that it's not possible because of your lack, because you are simply too weak. Here's the thing, church, and we're going to get into the message now. Here's what your opposition needs to know. Based on the scripture that I just read, what Paul was writing, your opposition needs to know that as individuals, our weakest link just happens to be our strongest, because that's where Christ's power is made perfect. And it's not just us as individuals, as a church, our weakest link is actually our strongest link, because that's where Christ's power is made perfect. You see, a strong facade with a weak core is always going to crumble. And that core remains weak as long as you try to hide it, you pretend it's there, you don't talk about it. But a core, weak by my standards, a core weak by your standards, but made perfect because of the power of Jesus, is actually strong. You see, here's the subtle way that we've bought into this as even adults now. Here's the subtle way that we hide our weaknesses. This is just practically speaking. Here's what it looks like. Are you ready? Hey, how you doing today? I'm good. Hey, is there anything that we can be doing for you? No, we're good. We got it. We're good. Hey, can I help you out with that? I saw that. Can I really help you? No, I'm good. I got it. I'm good. How about this one? Hey, I think you would really be great at this position. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I think you'd actually just thrive at it. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, it's just not in God's timing right now. I'm not saying God doesn't have timing. I'm saying that God's timing is not an excuse that you are to use. Do you know what I'm saying? You see, so often we can spend so much of our lives covering up the things we perceive to be our weaknesses, not realizing that what we're really covering up is the strength of Jesus. And you see, in this scripture, Paul gets it. Paul gets it. Paul doesn't fear his weaknesses. Paul is not afraid of his weaknesses because Paul knows that God doesn't just want some of him. Paul knows that God doesn't just want the nice, shiny, good-looking parts that he always succeeds at. Paul knows that God wants all of him. God wants all of him so he can do the work in us and through us that he's designed us to do. And guess what? What God's designed us to do isn't just for ourselves. What God's designed us to do is for people around us. 5 days later, 20 days later, a year later, 2,000 plus years later, the work that we're designed to do can literally affect generations. God wants all of us, not just the parts that we think are strong. And Paul gets this because Paul isn't just interested in getting scraps at the table. Come on, that's for somebody. Paul isn't just interested in getting scraps at the table. Paul isn't just interested in God showing up only in the 11th hour when he's finally at the end of his own strength and then he just happens to reach out and he wants him to fix something. And God does show up in the 11th hour, by the way, amen. But Paul isn't just interested in living a life where God just shows up right at the tail end when he needs him, because he needs him all the time. He isn't just interested in having Jesus be his backup plan when his own plans that he's gone through time and time again have failed, and now he's facing failure and he feels weak. here's what Paul wants, and this is what he writes about. Paul wants the power of God to come rest on him all the time, not just show up once in a while. He wants it to rest on him. I'm going to boast about my weaknesses because that is where the power of God is resting. Come on now. I'm going to shoot you straight about how big this giant is that I'm facing and how little I have left in the tank, because I believe that God's going to fill the tank back up continually. So I'm going to boast about these things that are weaknesses. Church, when you're facing a moment, when you're facing a moment or a situation, come on, this is for somebody right here. When you're facing a moment, you know the moments that I'm talking about. When you're facing a moment and you're sitting there and you're sizing up what's in front of you, and then you start sizing yourself up and your skill and your resource and your bank account and your resume, that moment when you have a choice between facing up to what's in front of you and walking right at it, or turning back and going the other way. That's the moment, church, that Paul's talking about. That's the moment when you need to stand in the power of God that rests in the midst of your weakness, and you look at that mountain right in the eye and you say, I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here, opposition. And oh, by the way, I don't need to negotiate with you about whether or not I'm supposed to be here, because you're my opposition. I don't need to negotiate with my opposition about whether or not I'm called, uncalled, qualified or uncalled, qualified, good-looking enough or not good-looking enough, strong enough or not strong enough. My dialogue does not need to be with my opposition, because I don't owe my opposition anything, church. My dialogue needs to be with myself. And here's what that looks like, church. Are you ready? Yeah. Here's what you need to say. Here's what that dialogue needs to look like in that moment. It needs to say this. By God's strength, I am supposed to be here. It doesn't matter what the weakness looks like. It doesn't matter what my own perception of my own weakness is. It doesn't matter how much you think I'm weak. By God's strength, I'm supposed to be right here. I know my God. I know he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So I'm either walking up and over or straight through this mountain, but I am getting to the other side. The Word of God says incredible things for a reason. Like, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And all things, church, means some of the things. Come on now. All things means all things, all things, all things, every time. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So that's not just this thing. That's this thing. And the next thing. And the next thing, and the next thing. And when you're between things and you're in the midst of the valley and you think, I don't even know how I'm going to do that, you think, oh, what? But he did it there. He did it there. So he's going to do it here too. Because all things, church, means all things. So I'm walking forward, amen? Here's the next thing. Here's the next thing that your inner dialogue needs to be saying when you're in the midst and you're standing in front of your opposition. It needs to say this. By God's vision and not my own, I'm going to see myself. By God's vision and not my own, I'm going to see myself. And not only by God's vision am I going to see myself, but by God's vision, I'm going to see where he's called me to go to. I'm just going to say this, okay? This is going to sound really basic. How many of you feel like God's called you to do something? Come on, hands. If God's called you to do something, God's called you to do something. I know that sounds simple, church, but listen, if God's called you to do something, then the creator of the universe has called you to do something. He didn't size you up first. He didn't do a strength finder's test on you and an assessment, put you through an interview panel, do a physical fitness test, and then choose you for whatever task he had in front of you. And I'm not knocking strength finders because I used to be in the corporate world and I get it. I'm not knocking physical strength because, hey, it's good to be strong. Come on. I'm not knocking those things. I'm just saying whatever God's called you to do, he has called you to do. Not based on how the world would assess your worthiness or your ability. In Ephesians, it says this, that when God created us, he literally set aside works for you and I to do. Can you imagine that? Like, so often we just stop at like God made you. You're God's creation. You're an image bearer, which is all true. But literally, Ephesians 2:10, when he created you, he set aside works in advance for you to do. Like he created you, and then he created things for you to do. He did them all at the same time. And if we aren't careful and assured enough of the fact that it was God who knit us together, and that it's in his image that I live, and that this life I live, and all the things he's called me to do are set aside by him, then I can start to view myself as the world views me through their lens, through their set of criteria. I don't know if you're familiar with the Old Testament or not, but there's a man named Samuel. Say Samuel. Samuel had a pretty big task. A lot of us have to-do lists. This day, Samuel happened to look up in his to-do list. His to-do list said that he was told by God to go anoint a new king of Israel. Hey, look, we all got our things to do in the day, right? Samuel is told by God to go anoint a new king of Israel. So he goes. Now, Samuel doesn't know which of a man named Jesse's sons is going to be the king, but he knows it's one of them. So he goes, and he does what we all would probably do. He starts speculating and sizing things up. He's looking at the sons. Which one's it going to be? Surely it will be the tallest. Surely it will be the strongest one. And then God says something incredible. The Lord tells Samuel, and this is for all of us. The Lord tells Samuel, quite frankly, that he does not look at the things that people look at. The Lord goes on to say that people look at the outward appearance. Your height, your strength, your dress, your stature, your resume. People look at the outward appearance, but God says, I look at the heart. God sees things differently than we do. And his ways are not our ways. So do you believe that God sees things differently than we do? Then let me ask you a question. If he sees things differently than we do, then you want to see things how everybody else sees them, or do you want to see things how God sees them? This is a defining question for everybody in this place. How do you want to see things? His vision of us and what he's called us to do are always accurate. God's vision of us and what he's called us to do are always accurate. Accurate. So church, ask God to open your eyes to his plans. Ask God to open your eyes to his plans. Not just for yourself, but for your family. For other people. Ask God to open. Because how many of you know if you're just cruising around and you happen to go to Chick-fil-A every day, you happen to go to the same Hy-Vee every day, and God opens up your vision of somebody that you see every day at the checkout line or wherever it is, and you see all of a sudden how God sees that person, guess what you have an opportunity to do? Tell them exactly how God sees them. And that just may be the life-changing moment in their life that they need that will literally change generations. Ask God to give you eyes to see them and ears to hear them that are accurate like he sees them. Here's the thing, church. You don't need to be a visionary person. You just have to be willing to see what he sees. Amen? You just have to be willing to see what he sees. All right, so far, by God's strength and with God's vision. And the final thing is this. In God's resource. In God's resource, I will do the things that God has called me to do. How many of you know that God is able to provide all the resource we need and all the power we need to do all the things that he's called us to do? Every single one of them. You and I may look around and all we see is our limitations. That's precisely where the God of limitless resources meets us. In that place, amen. The God who is able to bless you abundantly so that all things, at all times, having everything that you need, you will abound in every good work. Church, this is important. He will provide everything we need to follow his plan. Church, he doesn't set us up to fail. He doesn't call us to do something and then say, good luck with that. Like I'm serious. You people that raised your hands and I believe I'm called to do something. That's not where the story ends. God will not set you up just to fail and do it on your own. He will always provide everything we need to follow his plan. Every single thing. When he creates us, he sets aside works for us to do. In church, he doesn't set us up to fail. In all of our lack, he has everything we need. Remember the power that rests on us. Not on our strength, church. The power that rests on us in our weakness. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Every single thing, church. Someone here tonight knows that you have not been just left out on a limb to fend for yourself. Like you just have not been left out on a limb to fend for yourself. I believe God puts big dreams on our hearts for a reason, because he's looking to accomplish incredible things. And he happens to choose humans like you and me to do incredible things through that build his kingdom, generation after generation after generation after generation, church. And some of you, somebody in here has a dream that's big enough that it scares you. And I hope you do. I hope your dream scares you. But you need to know that you're not just left out on the limb now to fend for yourself. That's not what he does, church. He provides everything you need to do exactly what he's called you to do, church. Every single thing. So when you're out there on that limb and you're like, I just don't have anything, that's when you need to say, no, 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 no. I'm not alone. I don't have nothing. I am not weak, I'm strong, and I have the resource that I need because I can clearly see with his vision what he's called me to do, church. I'm gonna have everybody stand up here, church. Some of you are the person out on that limb, but church, some of you don't even know who this God is that we're talking about. Some of you want so desperately to know exactly who Jesus is, and yet you don't know how to meet him. Some of you desperately want this life that we're talking about tonight, a life where you're called to incredible things, a life where the God of limitless resources provides you everything you need to walk forward, and you just don't even know how to begin that. Some of you are so desperate to say, I want that life. I no longer want the life that's held me back. Church, tonight is your night when this can be the first step in that journey. Tonight is your night, literally, where everything that's come before you, you draw a line in the sand and you say, that's where I was, here's where I'm going. And it's through meeting Jesus Christ and knowing him as your Lord, knowing him as your Savior, saying yes to everything that he has for your life, chains broken off your life, free from everything that's held you back, free from the guilt, shame, and condemnation of everything you've done before or anything that's been done to you, to say, no, I'm not bound by that anymore. I am called to believe that I am who God says I am, and through the power of Jesus Christ, who will be my Savior, I will walk forward. And if you don't know Jesus, I think all of us together would say, we want to fix that tonight in this place. Because I just so desperately want you to realize exactly how God sees you and for you to step in the purpose that he has for his life. So here's what we're going to do, church. We're going to make space right now for people to say yes to Jesus Christ and to begin a brand new life in this place tonight. And here's how we're going to do it. See, the Bible says that if we proclaim with our mouths, we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ, Lord, that God raised him from the dead, that we're saved. That's what we're going to do tonight in this place, church. So we're going to pray a prayer together. All of us are going to pray together, every single one of us. And you don't have to come up with the prayer. I'm going to give the prayer, and you just have to repeat after me. But this prayer, I want this prayer. If you don't know Jesus, or if you want to come back to him after years of not following him, I want this prayer to be the cry of your heart tonight, church. I want it to be the cry of your heart. Everybody's going to bow their heads, and we're going to say a prayer. I'm just going to have you repeat after me, line by line. Church, are you ready? Everybody bow their heads, eyes closed. Repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins, and he rose again to give me life, joy, hope, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. I receive new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life the way you designed it, special, just for me, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, give God a shout of praise. If you prayed that prayer for the first time tonight, or if you prayed that prayer for the first time in a long time, I want you to know that heaven is literally throwing a party for you right now. Literally throwing a party for you right now, and you've begun the greatest journey of your life. There's a couple of things that we'd love you to do. First of all, just because we just love people and we want to bless them with things that help them on their journey. If you prayed that prayer for the first time tonight or for the first time in a long time, would you text the word SAVED, S-A-V-E-D, to the number 25827. Text the word SAVED to the number 25827. We have a gift this week that we want to send you. We want to send you a Bible. We want to send you a CD with some of the music, like the music that we sing here. And we want to send you a gift card to a local coffee house because, like, the Bible will bless us, music will bless us, and caffeine will bless us. Amen. So please text the word SAVE. We just want to send this gift to you because we love you. And there's one other thing that we want you to do. There's power in this, church. We want you to tell somebody what you did. If this is the first time that you prayed that prayer tonight, that you believed it with all your heart, or you're coming back to him tonight, we just want you to tell somebody, church. And we want that moment to be right now. Here's what I want to do. I just want to have the honor of praying for you right from where I stand, right to where you are. I'm not going to do anything weird. I'm not going to call anybody out. I'm not going to ask anybody to come down. I'm not going to point anybody out. I just want to have the honor of praying for you from here, and I won't even call you by name. I just want to have the honor of that. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Everybody's going to close their eyes and bow their heads. Nobody's looking around. We want to give people privacy in this moment. Nobody's looking around. It's just me. And I just want you to tell me by raising your hand or looking up at me, just between you and I, we can just have a moment where I'm not even going to say anything. I just want to have a moment with you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, would you put your hand up on the count of three? One, two, three, hands. Go up all in this place. Anybody, hands? One, two, three. I see that hand. Is there another hand? Is there anybody else? Another hand going up? Praise God. I see that hand. Any other hands tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for those two hands going up. God, I thank you so much for new life. God, I thank you so much for people meeting you. God, I thank you so much for people stepping into the purpose that you have for their lives. Bless these people, Lord Jesus. We praise you in your name. Amen. Church, we're going to wrap up service here in just a few minutes. The last thing that we want to do, church, we want to open up the front altar here for prayer. If you need prayer for anything, if you want somebody to come pray for you, pray alongside you for something you've got going on in your life, whether it's healing that you need, you got something in front of you, an opposition you want to walk through, you want somebody to pray for you, church, this is your moment. We've got a team of people standing by just waiting to pray for you right up here. So the band's going to play, church, and then we're just going to pray for you. Amen? All right, altar's open.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.